The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. May God add his blessing to the hearing of his word.
Thank you, Liz. I think I know why you had that pop. There's that man in the sound booth. He looked up and he saw his beautiful wife and he goes, pow. Trying to help you out with that, Tim, a little bit. Yeah. Oh, dear. Sometimes we live in a world of doubts, don't we? We live in a world of possibilities and probabilities and percentages and perceptions, and mixed in with all of that, doubts and assurances. How many of you picked Tom Brady and the Bucks to win the Super Bowl? I picked him because I thought the guy's won it 6 times before. Number 7, I mean, if you're going to put money on it, which I did not, but I thought, you know, and I was right. He won rather convincingly, didn't he? Because he was going against a young quarterback that doesn't have near the experience he does. And that was a probability. But there really was no guarantee, was there? We couldn't have known for sure that Tom Brady and the Bucks were going to win the Super Bowl. I just wonder, are we guaranteed anything? That's a life question. Are you and I guaranteed anything? Now, I know the answer right up front, and you know the answer too, but I want us to wade through all the other stuff to get to that answer too, and the answer, there is one thing that is guaranteed. I look at the world we live in today, and we live in a world where there's intentions, good intentions, great intentions, but still, some things don't always last, do they? When we stand up in front of a church and say, till death do us part, sometimes it happens, sometimes it does not. It's not a guarantee. We can beat cancer most of the time. Some of the time, we can't. What about our wealth? I read something that is not current, but I thought it was interesting to hear. And it was at the end of December in 2016, the FDIC, you know what that is, the banks insures your money that you got in the banks. They had deposits of almost $7 trillion and only $83 billion in insurance. I didn't mean to scare you. But is even our money guaranteed? Is our wealth guaranteed? You know, investments, sometimes they do really well and other times they tank. What I'm saying to you this morning is we tend to look at stuff and life and think there's all these guarantees, but are there any guarantees? Yes, I believe there is. It's a guarantee we have in God through Christ. But I want to wander through two people in the Bible that were going through some tough times. And they had reasons why they were going through tough times and perhaps even experiencing some doubt. And one of them is, we read about him in the Old Testament here, Abraham, right? Abraham, at this point in time when we're reading the text, he's kind of an old dude. He's up there in age. And so is his wife. And God is telling Abraham, I want to bless you. And you're going to be a father of many nations. And Abraham's trying to think, how in the world are you going to do this? Because, you know, my wife ain't no spring chicken. Abraham thinks that God's going to do it by some other means. But God made clear early on, he was going to bless him, he would be a father to many nations, and yet he's trying to find some other ways in which he might be able to do it. He starts out, first of all, with Lot, maybe my nephew. God wants to use my nephew to be the one through whom I will be blessed, bless many nations. And God said, this is earlier than what we read this morning. That's not who it is. It's not Lot. It's not Lot. We get to the text here this morning in the middle of all what's going on here. And here's Abraham coming before God again. And God is telling Abraham, don't be afraid. I'm your shield, your very great reward. And he's going to bless him. And Abraham's thinking, well, sovereign Lord, he says in verse 2, as we just read, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. He thought, okay, maybe it's Eliezer. That's who you are going to bless me through, my servant, who's a part of my household, part of my family. And that's going to be how you are going to go ahead and do it. And God is telling Abraham, no, that's not. You know, we give Abraham a lot of credit. We think right from the get-go, Abraham says, oh, yeah, God, that sounds good. My wife's going to be pregnant. We're going to have a kid and everything's going to be fine and dandy. He didn't approach it quite that way, did he? We give him a little bit more credit than what maybe he deserves with this, because then there's one other possibility. He's thinking, you know what? Sarah's old. Sarah doesn't think it's going to happen, because later on, we realize Sarah laughs when he actually indicates that's going to be the case. Sarah says, take the maid servant and make her a mother of your child. We know what happened there. It was Ishmael. And she did give birth to Ishmael. And God tells Abraham once again, Abraham, you're not listening to me. I told you that you would be a father of many nations through your offspring, your and Sarah's offspring. You are going to be a father of many nations. And you know, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Finally, Abraham gets it right. He is met by some strangers, messengers, perhaps angels, that came and told him, Sarah is going to give birth next year at this time to a baby. Sarah goes, it's ridiculous. You know, I'm 90 years old or whatever she was. I think it was about 90 years old. But what's God do? He gives Abraham and Sarah a baby in the late years of her life. And from there, Abraham became the father of many nations. And that many nations would be blessed through Abraham. Had Abraham really ever had any reason to doubt God? From a human perspective, we think, yeah. But he didn't. Why? Up to that point in time throughout history, any promise God had ever given to any of his people, he always kept it. There's never been an instance in the Word of God where God has not kept a promise that he's made. There are promises yet to be kept that are yet future. But when God says he's going to do something, God is going to do something. So really, Abraham had no reason to doubt God. But he did. It took a while. A patient and loving God walked Abraham through this process to a point where he finally realized God is God, his promise is good, he always keeps his promises, and it does say that God credited to him as righteousness his belief. We know it is flawed because he struggled with it for a while. And I want to share that with you this morning because you and I struggle with it too, don't we? You and I have no reason to ever doubt what God's going to do. There's no reason to doubt what God's going to do, but we do it, don't we? We're like Abraham. God, this issue is too big for you. You don't understand the wholeness of what's going on in my life right now. You don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on in my relationship. You don't know what's going on in my body. You don't know what's going on in the world. God, this is too big for you. The global mess we're in, the mess we're in our country, all this stuff is way too big for you. You just don't get it, do you, God? I'm having problems believing that you're going to do whatever it is that you're going to do. But yet when you sit down and think about it, God is God, and God's sovereign. God is in control. and we should never doubt that. We may not know what it is that God's going to do exactly. We have our own ideas. We do that oftentimes in prayer, don't we? When we pray to God, God, I've got this issue going on. I would like you to fix it this way. So God, answer my prayer. Sometimes not realizing that God's saying, that's not the way I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm answering it differently than the way you're asking it. But if you just trust me, you don't have to doubt me. I am going to be with you through all of this. Why do you and I doubt God so much? Hindsight always shows us that God was there. His fingerprints are around. That God was working in the midst of things we didn't understand at all. Abraham certainly can look back and say, I'm a dork, God. Lot, hello. That's not really answering the thing you told me was going to happen. Eliezer, come on, he's not even blood relation. I mean, come on. Ishmael, boy, that was a long shot too. But you know, Sarah, she told me and I do what Sarah told me to do. I was just throwing that in there. Not necessarily, but anyway, finally, Sarah, it's through your wife, I'm going to answer this prayer. So I don't think Abraham ever had reason to doubt God, but he did because he's human. You and I do because we're human. But I would say, in light of the title of the message this morning, when it comes to God, is my doubt legitimate? The answer ultimately is, it's not legitimate. My doubt is not legitimate. Let's move on to one other man here this morning before I close, and that's John the Baptist. The scenario that John the Baptist is in right now is he's in prison. He's now in prison when these questions are being asked. John probably has a very good idea of what's going to happen. He's never leaving prison. He has ticked off the king. He's ticked off the king's wife. He's ticked off those who have control over him. He's pretty sure, I'm never leaving prison. Think about this if you're John the Baptist. My whole life's work was to do what? To be a forerunner of Jesus Christ, to prepare the way for the Lord. And now I find myself in prison and I don't know how I'm going to die, but we find out later, his head's cut off. Think if you were John the Baptist in prison right now and you're talking to your own disciples, those who have been following you, and say, go ask Jesus something. I want you to go ask him. Is he really the one that we were waiting for? I mean, John, do you remember? Maybe not. But when you were in the womb of your mother, you leapt for joy when Mary came along, who was pregnant with Jesus. And you were going, hot diggity dog in the womb, because this one who I'm next to is going to be the Savior of the world. Even back then in the womb, you knew there was something special going on there. And you were with him at the River Jordan when you were baptizing people and Jesus came along. He said, this guy that's coming right now, I'm not worthy to even untie his sandal. He is far greater than I am. I must become less and he must become more. And Jesus said, John, baptize me. And the dove, the Holy Spirit, came upon in a powerful way. And God said, this is my son. I'm well pleased. John the Baptist had looked at all of this. And yet, here he was in a very difficult time in his life. And he's doubting. Right? He's doubting. Wouldn't you probably be doubting if you're in the same boat? I want to make sure that what's going on is real here because I might be paying with my life. You know? So his disciples go ask Jesus, and Jesus tells them, go back and tell them what's been going on. Been healing the sick and been doing all these powerful and wonderful things. And just let them know, in essence, yeah, I'm it. I'm him. You don't have to worry. Even though you're paying a very huge price, you don't have to worry. I've got this. We don't get the rest of the story with John the Baptist as far as them coming back and how he actually responded to all of this. We don't get the fullness of that story, but I believe as they went back and told John what Jesus had told them to tell him, that John the Baptist was encouraged. and it alleviated any doubts that he had that Jesus was Jesus and that this thing hadn't turned south. He was still in charge. Now, his predicament was different than Abraham's, wasn't it? Abraham had another one down the road. Do you remember that one with his son Isaac when he went up on the mountain? You remember that whole situation too where God had told him to go up and sacrifice on the top of the mountain. And Abraham had his son. He was to be the sacrifice, but yet he didn't know as he was going up to the top mountain, God, somehow, some way you're going to provide. I don't know what it is you're going to do, but I got to be obedient to you. And I'm having my doubts right now. But he went to the top of the mountain and they had the altar prepared and Isaac was actually laid on the altar. Can you imagine as a parent? That's how God felt with his son. But in the case of Abraham and Isaac, he provided the sacrifice. Abraham had doubts that God came through. John the Baptist had doubts, but God came through. In the case of John the Baptist, his life depended on it, didn't it? Literally. I want to ask us as I conclude this morning, we look at these two and I talk about doubt in my own life and you talk about doubt in your own life. Yes, we have doubt sometimes, don't we? We're human beings. We certainly have doubt when it comes to fellow human beings. Have you kept every promise you ever made? I believe the answer for every one of us here has been no. But God has. So yes, we have doubts when it comes to humanity. But concerning God, I want to encourage you to know this morning, you should never have any doubt whatsoever. You will, but God will help you with that. Never have any doubt whatsoever that God is in control. If you are His child, you know His Son, He will take care of you. It's guaranteed. That's promised. And you have nothing to fear. Our doubt when it comes to God is illegitimate. Think in terms of the long haul, not just your present predicament. Our present predicaments are what puts doubt in our hearts and our minds. John the Baptist's present predicament put doubts in his mind and his heart. Abraham's present predicament put doubts in his heart and mind, but we have to look also at the long haul. The short haul sometimes looks a little ugly and unsettling. But look at the long haul and know that God will get you through anything and everything that comes your way. It's a promise He has given us. And if God says He's got it, then He's got it. Amen? He's got it. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for these and many, many, many other examples in your word of the fact that you do have it. That when you promise something, you always come through. As your children, you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. Another promise in your word. In the book of Deuteronomy and elsewhere. God, help us to be assured that even though there are times in our lives when we have doubt concerning you, that that doubt is illegitimate. We can stand firmly on the fact that you've got it. Whether it's at a personal level or at a huge level, you've got it. There's nothing too big for you and there's nothing too small for you. Help us with our unbelief. Help us with our doubt. And help us to know that when you say you've got it, you've got it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. It is Valentine's Day, and who better to sing a Valentine's song to than the one who loved us so much and gave his life for us? How about we stand as we sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." All right. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's purpose.